Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's August 18th, the Roman Show. Right at you with a stellar program. Today, we welcome Florida famed professional wrestler who has traveled all over the world to show off his craft and has also been a part of NXT. Johnny Vando joins us here tonight, along with Frankie Perez, who takes on the veteran Sam Stout in Canada this weekend inside the Octagon. Frankie Perez making his second appearance in the UFC. He says this is the time where his mind is fresh and you will see a brand new Frankie Perez. What can we expect from this guy? Well, he'll let us know what to expect on the Roman Show, which starts right now.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in space.
Booster, go.
Retro,
go.
Vital,
go. Fire.
Guidance,
heads go.
Surgeon,
go. Light,
go.
We're go. Light,
GNC,
we're go.
Tell you,
go.
Control,
go.
Go.
FAO,
we are go.
Network,
go.
Recovery,
go.
Capcom,
we're go. Fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
What's going on, everyone? Good evening. Welcome to the Roman Show. It's time that we come in with a stellar program here this evening. And as I mentioned early on in the program, we are going to have Johnny Vando, who, well, personally had a personal experience with him, and Frankie Perez from New Jersey, who will be taking on the veteran Sam Stout this weekend on the UFC Fight Night card, which you can find on Fox Sports. You could just check your local listings for that. On the other end, George Alonso. What's going on, George?
Just here, man. Another night. Enjoying the day.
Yes, sir. And by the way, George, I got to give you props. The Otaku Life has been a success here on the Roman Show channel. So kudos to you. It's on every Sunday at 2 p.m. But if you don't want to hear live, who cares? Just, you know, hear it on iTunes. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on Blog Talk. Anywhere you want. So kudos for that. But by the way, who do you have as a guest this week?
Well, first off, very much big time thank you for your congratulations. That's number one, and most important, of course, because without the Roman Show Network, we wouldn't even be on the air. So thank you for that, Mr. Roman. But also, you know, this coming Sunday, we're actually having the author of the comic book Headlocked on the show, Mr. Michael Kingston. You're very familiar with him, Mr. Roman. So me, we're going to have Mr. Michael Kingston on the air, but also a very big thank you to my two team members that make it all happen as well, Harley Lovecheck and Molly May. So, the Otaku Life is growing.
That's awesome, man. It's proud of you, man. We'll keep it going. And now it's time for the Roman Show. And, you know, we're going to get things going right here, straight to the point. We're not even going to waste any time.
Now it's time to give you a reality check.
Indeed we are. We're going to give you a reality check because Brock Lesnar gave a reality check to Dana White, the UFC president. He went on ESPN today and said that Vince McMahon is basically at another level when it comes to promoting. Vince McMahon is a better promoter than Dana White. That's what he said today on SportsCenter on ESPN. Do you think, George, this is a stab or a punch to Dana White after his tweet about that a few weeks ago where he said that, you know, that fake stuff is worth $9.99, and now that the WWE is on ESPN getting all this exposure, in fact, SportsCenter is going to be in Brooklyn this weekend for SummerSlam. So was this a shot from the WWE to the UFC?
To be honest with you, Mr. Roman, I would not be surprised. But at the same time, you know, no matter what, whether it be past or present, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you either. Because Mr. Lesnar actually was in the UFC for quite a while, former UFC heavyweight champion. And, you know, I'm not saying that things are going to go wrong with him in the WWE, but don't insert yourself in a situation where you fought with a former employer, because if something ever goes wrong with your current employer, then what?
You know, it goes back to the saying, never burn bridges, right?
Exactly. So, and now with Mr. Lesnar putting himself, you know, in that bridge, then what's going to happen? Again, I'm not wishing bad upon Mr. Lesnar. I hope he has a great long career in the WWE, but don't burn your bridges. But unfortunately, it's too late to say don't right now, because he already did.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest here. Aside, I mean, let's forget about the whole stabbing and all that stuff, but let's be honest here. Is Vince McMahon a better promoter than Dana White? You know, I'm going to have to tell you, and I don't want to choose sides, but let's take a look at the things as they are. Vince McMahon is a promoting genius to take the WWE where it is now, what it was then when his father had it. Let's be honest. Dana White himself has consulted Vince McMahon on ideas on how to promote properly. So is Vince McMahon the king of promoting? I mean, he's still in business. Let's take a look at, for example, Don King, who promoted boxing. He's no longer around. But Vince McMahon, at 70 years old, is he? Who is in phenomenal shape? Guy's still around. The product is better, bigger than ever, has its own network. George, you got to give the thumbs up to Vince McMahon.
I do. Because this is the guy who basically, you know, aside from his performers in the WWE, set the stone in the promoting business when it comes to sports. The man created WrestleMania, okay, when he bought the WWE from his father, okay? So this guy has many more years under his belt when it comes to promoting business. He was laying it all on the line in WrestleMania 1. Either he would have made it, or he would have lived life as a broke man. And you know what? He risked it all for a big, big outcome of a positive life. And to be honest with you, if you put Dana White and Mr. Vince McMahon in a race on who's the better promoter, I would have to say it's Vince McMahon, because he just risks more than any other promoter is ever willing to risk.
I agree, man. So, you know, kudos to Vince McMahon. You got to give it to him. So Brock might have a point. And again, Dana White took a lot of advice. I personally had a chance to speak to Dana White myself, and he said, yes, I've had breakfast, I've had lunch, and I have received advice from Vince McMahon. So maybe Brock Lesnar does have a point. And, you know, Dana White did it on his Twitter account. Brock Lesnar did it on ESPN. You can't beat that. All right, switching gears, George. The big weekend is this Sunday, as you got NXT TakeOver on Saturday. Then you got SummerSlam on Sunday. Then you got following Monday Night Raw. So let's start off real briefly on NXT TakeOver, which is going to be airing live on the WWE Network at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I mean, you can't get any better than that for a wrestling fan. And by the way, for me, being that I love MMA and wrestling, and football, I'm sure there'll be football there somehow. I think I'm going to have like major overload of sports this weekend, but WWE Network is going to be featuring the NXT TakeOver. You got UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports. I'm just having an overload right now. I don't know what to expect, but let's talk about NXT TakeOver, George. Main event, Balor versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is going to be part of SummerSlam. Are they using a little bit too much of Kevin Owens? Shouldn't he just stick to the main roster?
Kevin Owens has always been a fighter. This is a guy that, you know, he doesn't work out there and entertains just for himself or the fans. He goes out there to make a living for his family. And that you have to give him all the credit in the world. I give him all my respect, for the reason is that he's only trying to supply for his family. Any kind of, you know, father is, you know, it should be doing that for their family. And that's what Kevin Owens does. So are they pushing his limits? As a fan, I would say yes. But as him, I don't think he's being pushed because he loves what he's doing. So,
hey, but you know, you know that him and Balor are going to go at it. You know that him and Balor are going to just give you a phenomenal match. And then following him and Cesaro, do you know what those two are going to pull off?
No, I agree. But don't you forget, Mr. Roman, they just signed Balor and Owens to be a ladder match at this event. So it's not like Owens is going into a singles match. You know, I bet you my bottom dollar some of your listeners right now are saying, oh my God, what if he gets injured in the ladder match? What's going to happen between him and Cesaro? You know, anything could happen. Anything. That's why we live in the world of entertainment. You know, anything can happen. Look what happened with John Cena and Seth Rollins two Monday Night Raws ago. He broke his nose live on television. You just can't, you know, predict anything.
It is part of that kayfabe era, right?
Yep. So we will see, I guess, come this weekend. But personally, Mr. Roman, and I know I'm advancing and I apologize for this, the match I'm looking forward to the most on Saturday is the debut of Jushin Thunder Liger for the first time ever on WWE.
Isn't that just going to be awesome? And for those people who are not really true 110% fans of wrestling, you are going to be able to see an icon of professional wrestling. This guy is a badass. If you don't remember seeing him in WCW, well, you're going to see him in NXT. And kudos to Triple H for bringing a guy like this in NXT. Yeah. I mean, this is just the beginning that we're going to see great independent talent in NXT against, you know, guys like Tyler Breeze or the list goes on and on. Hideo Itami, you know, facing on who knows. Imagine?
Apollo Crews actually makes his debut this coming Saturday on the NXT TakeOver. And you and I both met him at Wrestle Reunion when WrestleMania was down here in Miami, where he suffered that nasty, nasty injury to his leg when he was formerly known as U-Haul Nation for Dragon's Gate. So finally, Apollo Crews makes his debut. You got the tag team titles going up for grabs with the Von Villains versus Blake and Murphy. Where actually the Von Villains say that they have a special surprise for Alexa Bliss. Who knows what that could be? You know,
I want to point something out here, George. Looking at this card, one thing that pops up to me is Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder is an NXT. This is a guy who, remember, they were hyping him up on the main roster with the whole YouTube video show that he had, and now he's teaming up with Mojo Rawley. Is Zack Ryder done, or are they just repackaging him?
That's basic. You could say it's kind of like a reboot. You know, rebooting his career. Where, if you haven't noticed, is happening with a lot of the WWE main roster superstars, including the one that no one likes, Eva Marie. So it's kind of like that kind of environment, which I really don't mind. I'd rather, you know, these young up-and-comers go through it the hard way. That way fans get to know you more than having them in the main roster. And then guess what? You're some unknown guy and no one ever takes you serious. And, you know, I'd rather them go through this kind of like a reboot way, you know?
George, is the NXT TakeOver card better than SummerSlam itself? Because I don't know, looking at it, I think I'm going to have more fun watching this than SummerSlam.
Well, I can't really say because, you know, NXT TakeOver has outshined every single WWE pay-per-view thus far. And the NXT TakeOver, this one, Brooklyn, is no different. But, you know, you're going against a huge media giant in SummerSlam where you got 10 matches signed, the ESPN Sports Center being live.
4 hours.
John Stewart hosting SummerSlam. This is quite possibly the biggest SummerSlam since its creation.
Yeah, definitely the biggest. And you got Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. That itself sells itself. And Seth Rollins, Cena, you know, I'm actually looking forward to that match. I think they're going to have a good match.
Well, they're making history, Mr. Roman, because someone is walking out as a unified champion with both the United States and heavyweight championship. So, now, again, the WWE makes history.
Do you think the U.S. title, though, is going to be deceased after this, or? They got to keep it going.
Question.
They have to keep it going.
Personally, Mr. Roman, I'm not Vince McMahon. I'm not the perfect promoter. But if I was in this kind of situation, I would actually, delete the United States title, keep the World Heavyweight title, and keep it like the old school WWE as growing up. Just one World Heavyweight champion, one Intercontinental champion, and one Tag Team championship.
Okay, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, George, because the U.S. title has so much history.
It does, Mr. Roman, it does. But, in reality, why do you need, they have the U.S., the World, the Tag, the Intercontinental, and the Diva. Why would you need five titles on one program?
But still, man, it's so much history.
It does, and I'm not declining the history, and I'm never going to ignore the history. But is it really necessary? I don't think so. And again, this is no disrespect to any of the veterans of the business or anything. I love the business as much as the next person. You have a great, great superstar in Johnny Vandal coming on the show. International superstar, as a matter of fact, been all over the world. But you know something? As far as the United States title is concerned, right now for where we are in the entertainment business, I feel like the United States title come this Sunday might be deleted. Because I even was thinking to myself, Mr. Roman, how can even both superstars walk out with the championship? With their own championship, meaning no winner. I was thinking of different routes, and I can't come up with one. So basically, I'm thinking there's going to be one winner, and one champion after the Sunday.
Interesting to see what's going to happen. Plus, you got to admit that the John Cena U.S. Open U.S. title matches that he has had on Raw, Monday Night Raw, that itself were exciting, man. It was a lot of fun to see who was going to take on. And the battles he had with Cesaro were just amazing. So, I don't know. I don't think they just completely should just get rid of it.
Well, time will tell, Mr. Roman, come this Sunday. There's a lot of matches I'm looking forward to on the SummerSlam pay-per-view. I'm very, very excited for this weekend. And even if I'm not able to catch it live, I'm happy for the WWE Network where you could always replay it. Only for $9.99.
Only for $9.99. Cheap plug. All right, George, moving forward. Real briefly, I want to talk about this because during Roddy Piper's funeral, Triple H was there, and so was China. Then Six-Pac went on Twitter and said that allegedly China went and bum-rushed Triple H to, I guess, apologize or say something. Then China posted a video on YouTube saying that she did not bum-rush him. All she said was just something, hey, how are you? And, hopefully everything is good and blah, 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 blah. She said, yeah, it wasn't the right time, but it was probably the only time she had for her to explain herself. China's just desperate, huh? She really is desperate for that opportunity of getting a Hall of Fame opportunity in the WWE.
Well, you have to give her credit where credit is due. She doesn't quit. But when it comes to, all this he said, she said stuff, I always stood by my words or my action when I said either I see proof of it or it didn't happen.
Nobody really knows.
Right now, because there's a lot of he said, she said. Mr. Roman, I could get on this show right now and I could say, oh, I had an affair with so-and-so, but I have no proof.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the wrestlers have a saying in the wrestling business, when you talk to them about uncertain talent, and a lot of independent wrestlers who listen to your show can vouch for this. When you mention a name to them and they don't know who this person is, the first thing they're going to ask you is, send me a tape.
Yeah, because very true.
So basically, show me proof and then I'll believe it. But for now, all I believe is he said, she said, and I don't buy it.
Very true. You know, one thing is, though, is that it's pretty sad. Yeah, you know, China has her history, but Sunny is a WWE Hall of Famer, and she herself is a wreck. So should they take her WWE Hall of Fame ring away from her? I mean, she's doing, what is it, sex cams and things like that, getting arrested from left to right.
Well, you see,
give China a chance, right? Give China a chance.
But in that case, Mr. Roman, there is proof in the pudding when it comes to Sunny, a.k.a. Tammy Cinch, okay? No disrespect to her, but she put her foot in her own mouth in there, okay? There's plenty of proof. We could say as much as we want about that, and the funny part is you and I have done our research, and we've seen it, okay? We've seen what's on the internet when it comes to Tammy Lynn Cinch. Okay, are we supporters of it? Of course not, because we want to see the best for her. But yes, you're right. If you got Tammy Lynn Cinch that's in the WWE Hall of Fame and she's getting arrested for DUIs and drug problems and all that stuff, and then, of course, putting up some rated R pictures up on the internet, and you have her in the Hall of Fame, but you're declining China, then you're becoming a hypocrite.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, George, that's pretty much wraps it up for this reality check as we take a look at the world of professional wrestling. And by the way, just a reminder, Ring of Honor will be returning to the Fort Lauderdale War Memorial in December. And I know, George, you're a little upset because it's kind of like we're getting, the leftovers. We're not getting a pay-per-view. We're not getting a big show. We're getting like a little, I guess, like a preview. But whatever. Yeah. Hey, it's Ring of Honor. We don't know who's going to be on it. The bottom line is they come here in December. Hey, you can't go wrong, George. It's Ring of Honor. It's a lot of great action.
Yeah, but still, I just wish they would have taken Miami more serious.
Well, perhaps next time, right? Hey, well, at least we got something for WrestleMania weekend. So, hey, don't ask. I'm sure if there's a good crowd, they'll be back again. Just like I am hoping that the NXT returns very, very soon. Because from what I understand, it was a great turnout at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables. So crossing my fingers for that. Well, that's been Reality Check. George, thanks so much, man. And right now we are going to just a few seconds. We're going to welcome in Johnny Vandor. George, anything you want to say, man?
To who, Johnny or anything else?
No, anything else you want to add?
Oh, okay, man.
I know it's late, but dude, wake up.
I did not know. I thought you meant John. My bad. Okay, no. Basically, long story short, guys, keep on supporting that Otaku Live every Sunday at 2 p.m., guys. Make sure you like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/thatotakulife. This coming Sunday, again, Michael Kingston from Headlocked. And next week, finally, we get Blue Pants, a.k.a. Leva Bates, on the show. Thank you very much, Mr. Roman, for everything.
You got it, sir. We'll catch you here next week on The Roman Show. George Alonso of Reality Check as we tackle the world of professional wrestling.
And now it's time to give you a reality check.
Hey guys, if you are in need of a massage, the place you need to go to is Massages in Space. They are located in Miami, so for those listening in Miami, Florida, Massages in Space, that's where you need to go. For more details, visit MiamiMassagesInSpace.com. Trust me, Maria will take care of you. She takes care of me all the time. MassagesInSpace.com. Check them out. Affordable price, and you'll walk out like a champ. All right, folks, we're back here on The Roman Show. In just a few seconds, we're going to welcome in Johnny Vandor. And I know George is still on the line there. George, you and I have had a very, we used to train with Johnny way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about years back. this man, holy hell, talking about freaking bringing back memories.
Yeah, this is a pre-recorded interview, but I touched those issues. But George and I, we were professional wrestlers at one time, and we trained with Connor from the Ascension, with Johnny, Newman Smiley, MVP, Alex G, Rusty Brooks. These were guys that George and I, we were busting our tails almost every day of the week up in Hollywood in a warehouse. And he goes and explains everything, how much of that training is very similar to that of Japan. So now we're going to go into this interview with Johnny Vandal. And of course, we'll talk about his latest gimmick of S&M with Trina Michaels. And well, I'll let him explain. Not enough of the talking. Here's Johnny Vandal. Thanks for tuning in again to The Roman Show. And on the line, I know we're going to have someone that I know very well. I've followed his path. And in fact, we go a little way back to the old wrestling school they had down here in Hollywood with Rusty Brooks. I'm talking about none other than Johnny Vandals, who's tearing down the house at FIP, Evolve, and the rest of the promotions under the WWN Live promotion. So right now, it's my honor. It's a pleasure to speak to Johnny Vandal right here on The Roman Show. How are you, Johnny?
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Johnny, it's a pleasure, man. You've been tearing the house down at FIP, but I first want to speak to you about your latest look with Trina Michaels, this S&M approach that you've been taking to your character. I've been seeing the videos very dark, and you being chained and her pushing you around like a pet. How did this start, Johnny? Let us know about it.
Well, you know, it's tough being me. The thing is, man, when FIP brought me in a few years ago, you know, I was trying to find my ground and seeing what works for me, what doesn't, and there's a little truth to this character, man. If not, you know, a lot of truth. You know, I'm really like that behind the scenes, and Trina's my girl, so, I mean, for me to be able to put that on the forefront and showcase, you know, what I got in the ring and out of the ring with that character is, it's a dream come true, man. I'm having a whole bunch of fun with it. I know Trina's having a good time with it, and, we're able to tear it up at FIP just because, you know, that is a little bit more adult-oriented. But they cater to kids as well. So I'm having a blast with it, man. I'm just, you know, putting in the work and seeing where it takes me.
So are you, aside from professional wrestling, you and Trina an item?
Me and Trina are a item, yes.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, that in itself must be fun because you're working together with your significant other. I mean, we don't want to get the details.
Right, well, it's more like, it's not really significant. We're in an open relationship. Let's just keep it at that.
Okay, cool.
She gets to chain me up and do whatever she wants with me, and then I get to go home to whoever I want.
Now,
at the end of the night, I mean, Trina's like the prize that I get, you know, in the wrestling. So it's awesome to bring that forefront, man. I love doing the character stuff, and it's really good, man, because it hits close to home for me, so. The people that are posting online, you know, saying it's weird and it's creepy, but it's cool. And a couple people are posting that it seems like it's real. Well, it's definitely real. So,
how have some people reacted to some of this? How about your close friends or your close family? What is their reaction?
You know, close friends and family. Some women whom I've dated know that side of me. You know, friends and family. You know, it's not like. I mean, I don't know what I can and can't say on here, but it's not like I do porn, you know. It's just me showing this character gimmick, and whatever I do behind the scenes is what I do behind the scenes. It's not like me and Trina go out there and commit crazy acts, you know, but we push the limit for sure as much as FIP and the WWN Network is going to allow us to push. But so far, man, we've been really appreciative of everything they've given us, every spot they've given us, and we're just trying to take this character and this BDSM stuff to the next level, man. Family's all, you know, supportive. People support me, you know. If me bringing out something that I do in the bedroom to a character is going to help me get, you know, further in promotions or help my character or character development, then I'm going to do it. So family's supportive. Friends are supportive. Yeah, it's a little weird, but you got to admit, whether you love it, you hate it, you think it's creepy, weird, whatever, you're still going to pay attention to it. So I'm super happy with it, and I look forward to doing more.
It sure does get your attention. Now, you were recently on NXT. I mean, of course, you didn't use that gimmick in the NXT, but what was that experience like?
Man, NXT was a dream. dream come true, Bo. I mean, you know, you and a few other people that have followed me know that I've been around, you know, since 2001, since I was a teenager, you know, busting my butt trying to get to WWE. And finally they called me, and I did NXT a bunch of times. I did a couple live shows for them, and they continue to call me and give me dates. So as long as they're still using me, you know, I'm happy. It was, you know, I mean, experience-wise, it's a dream come true. You know, you grow up big fan of pro wrestling, and you work as hard as you can in the minor league level, you know, which most people call the indies. I like to call the minors. you work hard as you can at an indie minor league level, and finally, you know, when you get that call, which most people don't, but when you do, it's a dream come true, man. And my first day there, the first experience was very nerve-wracking, you know, but this upcoming date that I have, I'm not going to reveal it yet, but this upcoming date I have will be my 9th time getting to work with them. So it's an absolute honor, you know, whether they use me for wrestling or whatever they use me for, as long as they're paying me, you know, and calling me and giving me dates, I'm super happy. And it's not just about WWE for me, though. Of course, everybody's dream, well, at least my dream, was to make it in WWE. But as I got older and as I got to wrestle around the world like Japan and stuff, it's more just to make a living off of wrestling. So whether I can do that in WWE, Japan, Mexico, Puerto Rico, or WWN, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as I can make a living and get my exposure out there, it's just, I love wrestling, man, and I just want to wrestle, you know?
And you know, Johnny, you talk about that you've been doing this since 2001. I remember the times when you and your brother Tommy would walk into that warehouse that we had the ring in Hollywood, where Rusty would be, Norman Smiley would show up there, Connor, who is now part of the Ascension, will show up and train with us.
Yeah.
Norman Smiley will be out there. MVP, you know, all these guys, we were surrounded by them, and we're talking about more than 10 years ago, and here you are today. So obviously you have that background that you've always been surrounded by great, talented people.
Well, you gotta understand this. I mean, yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, that was back in 2001, man, almost 14 years. I was 16 years old when I first started, and I just had my 30th birthday a week ago.
Wow.
So it shows you, you know, how long I've been in and around the business. And it's crazy. You mentioned Connor and Norman Smiley and those guys, which now that I see at the NXT tapings, you know, and they take me under their wing and they show me around, and it's like they give me a spot in the locker room. So it's like, it's humbling to know guys, especially guys that make it, you know, and guys that you've, you know, wrestled with and traveled with. You know, me and Connor, we did a lot of shows, you know, training, and we used to, just me and him would sometimes be the only ones at practices, like Sundays, you know, just me and him would go and roll around, and it's just crazy to see where, you know, for me and Connor, whether him being a big superstar or me being a big superstar or whatnot, for us both to be in the WWE ring at the same time and wrestle each other 13 years after we started training was just, it was an unbelievable moment, and I'm super excited that I got the opportunity to do that and more opportunities to come. So, yeah, but Rusty Brooks' school, I mean, that was, you know, I wish there was stuff like that now. You know, there's not too many schools, and the schools that are running, you know, only want you to work for them and nobody else. So it's just, things have changed a lot, man, but some of the training that Rusty Brooks and Alex G and Norman Smiley and MVP, everybody that contributed, I mean, you can't find that stuff anymore, man, and it's just great. It's great memories, but it's also, I mean, stuff that I learned when I was training at 16, I still implement in my training today.
Yeah, it's really amazing, those old days. You know, back then, they trained in Hollywood. Another was, I think his son also had a wrestling school in his backyard. I mean, these were people that were dedicated to really following their dream under the path of great guys like a Smiley. And I remember Smiley, just, and I mean, that's the reason why he's a head trainer at NXT. The guy was just a perfectionist with all your moves and your technique. He'll have you do the fall 50 million times until you get it right.
Yeah, I mean, that school was grueling, man. It was a reminder for me, because when I went to Japan in the summer of 2012, I went there for 3 months, and the training there was a little bit more, but it was very similar. Not a lot of wrestling schools, you know, because they don't want to weed out the students. They want the business. They won't train like that. But the thing is, in Japan, you train like that. If you can't make it, you can't make it. That's it. And that was similar to Rusty's motto. As much as he wanted students, he realized that he wasn't just going to take people's money. I mean, if they couldn't train or make it through the training, you know, see you later. Now there are schools, you know, around that they'll take anybody and they don't train as hard as other schools just because they want the students' money or whatnot. And it's just it's a lost art in wrestling, man. And it sucks because I understand the business aspect of it. But, I mean, there's some schools that are producing guys that really don't even belong in the ring because they're not training properly or they're only going to practice once a week or they train for 2 months and then they never train again. They buy some gear and they call themselves wrestlers. It's like, times have changed, so now when I get booked on some lower-level shows, not to say, I mean, minor league's minor league, you know, unless you're WWE, you're minor league, you know, sorry. But with that being said, I'd like to now pick and choose. You know, some shows, you know, if they put you with guys that aren't really trained, you don't really want to take that just for a safety issue. Now, if you're going to a school to help students and they'll listen to you and there's no egos involved, then absolutely. You know, it's just a double-edged sword, man. Now, it's a tough time right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is definitely a whole different ballgame from those days. But you were in Japan. Do you have any plans of going out there again anytime soon?
I've been in talks with Nakamura, who runs the 01 Japan, the 01 Japan in Tokyo. I have it planned for maybe September, but I have to lock out a couple other dates for some certain things. Also, some WWE stuff coming up, so I got to make sure it doesn't interfere with those plans. But at the same time, yes, I do plan on going back to Japan. I don't know how soon or for how long, but there is another tour, definitely, in my career.
No doubt about that. And Johnny, lastly, you know, you're an FIP. Sure you're going to be out there soon. I know you're going to be part of the whole Ring Warriors this coming week. But FIP, you wrestled Maxwell Chicago for the FIP Heritage title. Anyone that you foresee that you really want to get your hands on in FIP or Evolve or any of the WWN organizations under that promotion?
Honestly, I would like to get my hands on whoever WWN thinks is the top talent at that time. I mean, WWN, I mean, their companies and their, I mean, especially Evolve and FIP, and, you know, now they just picked ACW, and they have companies that are just booked with talent, man, and especially, like, in Evolve, man, I would like to wrestle, you know, maybe Rich Swann, maybe guys that are looked at as some of the best in the minors. I want to be able to show, you know, WWN that not only can I compete with these guys, but hell, I'm better than some of these guys. So, and that's kind of the mindset you have to have as a worker regardless, but at the same time, when you're with the WWN network, with FIP, with Evolve, you know, with Dragon Gate, with all those companies, they're bringing in such good talent that you need to not only remind yourself, but remind the fans and remind the office that, hey, you're here to stay and you can play with anybody. So for me, it's about now getting this character really down, you know, and just continuing to push myself to my limits. And really, I don't have anybody that I particularly want to work with. I want to work with everybody. I want to show the offices that I'm better than everybody. So I'll work with anybody, anywhere, you know.
All right, Johnny. Well, I want to thank you very much, man, and wish you good luck on your career. I know you're kicking some butt there. Catch him on the NXT. Catch him on WWN Live. Catch him at Ring Warriors. Johnny Vandals is everywhere, man. It's just a matter of time till we see even a lot more of him. You were also at the Ronin show down here in South Florida as well.
Yeah, you know what? The Ronin shows, man, there was problems that I had with the offices back when they were running a few months ago, but now I hear they're under new management, so maybe they'll contact me, maybe they won't. I don't really go out of my way to contact companies, you know. I'm friends with enough people in companies, and I've been wrestling, you know, almost 14 years now, where at least the Florida companies will know me. So if they want to book me, they can. If not, no hard feelings, you know. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to bash Ronin. I think they got a good thing going. Is it a slap in the face to me when people run in Florida and don't book me? Sure. But at the same time, I mean, that just gives me more motivation. To make it more motivation to be a better wrestler, more motivation to do things that people in South Florida or Florida aren't doing, you know? So when people look back and they say, hey, you know, who's coming out of Florida? It's, you know, it's Johnny Vandal. That's the name that they know. So for me, there's no hard feelings, but yeah, I haven't done Ronin shows lately. They haven't called me to do any future Ronin shows. So for now, just the WWN Network, the FIP, I do Believe shows. Ring Warriors is obviously back. And I'm going to start doing some shows out of state again pretty soon here in Alabama and Georgia and stuff. But for now, whoever books me is where I go, man. So, I mean, really, the only bookings that are truly important to me are the WWE Network bookings and also the WWE bookings, of course. So.
Well, Johnny, I want to thank you, man. And where can people follow you on social media? Keep us to date where you will be visiting their town.
I'm all over social media, man. JVandal1 on Twitter and Instagram. And also Facebook is Johnny Vandal, man. So you guys can follow me, call me, book me, whatever you want to do. Send me messages as long as they're not stupid, like hate mail messages.
Right.
Yeah, Sometimes I get, like, dumb death threats. Retarded, but
really?
Because
of your gimmick? Because of your gimmick or for something else?
People are just, especially since this new gimmick that I started, you know, showing people, I think it's more Trina Michaels, though. I think they're more jealous. You know, she has a lot of followers through her other world that she did before pro wrestling.
Right,
so
right.
I think some of the weirdos contact me and they don't want to see me in that role. They'd rather see them in that role. So it's not, I mean, I'll take all types of messages, but I'm only going to respond to the non-death threats and the bookings.
Gotcha. Well, Johnny, thanks so much for your time, dude. And, well, again, check out Johnny Vandal. He's everywhere, man. You can't miss him. Thanks for your time, Johnny, and good luck.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you for having me, buddy.
Good night, man. Bye-bye. All right, George, we're here returning back here in the Roman show. A little Japanese. Since Johnny Vandal was talking about Japan, I figured it'd be kind of appropriate, don't you think?
Yeah, it was appropriate. But it's good to know that the Roman show, you know, can't get enough of me.
But by the way, we have a listener in Brazil. We have someone from Brazil. How are you listening in Brazil? So, all the band Boa Noite in Brazil. Thanks for listening here on the Roman show. We're international,
hello,
man.
Brazil.
What can I say? Yeah,
hello,
Boa Noite.
I'm looking for a girlfriend. I'd love to date one of you. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I just had to do a funny little plug there. Sorry.
Well, listen, George, I want to talk briefly here now. Some mixed martial arts, because there's some really crazy stuff happening in the world of MMA. And, let's just get to it, shall we? Why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners all around the world, welcome to The Showdown.
It's just insane. When you read the news of mixed martial arts, there's always something bizarre happening. You know that, George? For some reason, it's almost like the world of professional wrestling always meets MMA somehow, some way. I don't understand how. But needless to say, the craziest stuff just happened. Wasn't that really crazy? It's actually pretty encouraging, because a 12-week-old pregnant lady became a champion. It happened this weekend at the at an event where she won the Noxie Strawweight Championship title. She defeated Renata Baldin, and the fighter that I am speaking about is Kimberly Novice. She was 12 weeks old into her pregnancy, and the lady defeated her opponent to win the title. That is just awesome. You got to give it to her, man. You're pregnant and you can kick ass.
I'll give it to her, but now what's going to happen with the title? Because doesn't MMA have a certain time period to defend the championships?
Yeah, but I don't know. They give it to the baby. I don't know.
That's surely a ratings booster.
I'm sure it is, man. Well, listen, we also have heard that the UFC is returning to Florida, this time back to Orlando, where they sold out the last time they were there at MMA Arena. Well, we have so far one fight announced. So far, Rafael Dos Anjos will put up his title versus Donald Cerrone in the main event set for UFC on Fox 17 in Orlando. is the last show on Fox that's going to be air on December 19 in Orlando, Florida. I mean, that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is a great fight. Dos Anjos will put up his lightweight title against Cerrone. Cerrone has been in a row. He has defeated everyone. And, you know, one thing about Cerrone, George, is that he really doesn't really care about the title. He has gone and said, listen, I don't care about winning the title. I just care about paying my bills because I have to pay a lot of taxes. And if you follow him on Instagram, the guy's always clowning around, drinking beer, just enjoying his life. And then he goes into the cage, he kicks ass, he gets his paycheck and leaves. But for him, it's not about the title. It's more about the money. That's what makes it more exciting. And if you don't believe me, after every fight at the press conference, the post conference, he's always drinking a Budweiser.
Well, this comes to show you that this guy, whether he wins or loses, he doesn't mind as long as the money's good.
That's what he cared for. But it's going to be good because Donald Cerrone is a different fighter than he was the last time he fought Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos has not fought in a while because of injury. But it's a different fighter. Cerrone is a guy. He is the guy when someone is injured, he calls up Dana White and says, hey, don't worry about it. I'll go ahead and fight. So the last time he fought Dos Anjos was back in 2013, and he lost by unanimous decision. Obviously, since then, George, this man has gone undefeated. He has defeated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in a row since he lost that fight against Dos Anjos. So he is a different man.
Well, after you're done with all your topics, Mr. Roman, I got something to say when it comes to MMA, now that I just remembered. But
you do.
Look, yes, I do.
Okay.
But now I just remembered, especially when you're talking about wins and losses. But now let's stay with the current topic at hand. You're saying that this man is undefeated. Yes, this guy.
Well, for the last eight fights.
Well, for the last eight fights, fine. But this, if we're still talking about the same guy here, you know, again, he doesn't mind whether he wins or loses. But when he gets in that octagon, you know, like I was talking to you a little earlier about, you know, Kevin Owens, the guy fights for his family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm pretty sure when he gets in that octagon, sure, he's not saying, oh, whether I win this thing or not, you know, I don't care. He's going in there, you know, not to lose nor to win. He's there to make it worth everyone's while, because at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure when he walks through the curtain again, going backstage and meeting up with Dana White, you know, you don't want to meet an angry promoter and saying, hey, that was the worst fight you've ever put. You know, alas, remember what happened with Anderson Silva not too long ago.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, and by the way, speaking of Anderson Silva, George, I want to. Good thing you mentioned Anderson Silva because, you know, he was caught with performance-enhancing drugs. He finally went up against the Nevada officials to see if his defense is saying that what he was using was legal because, quote-unquote, George, Anderson Silva said that what he was using was not a steroid. It was more for a sexual enhancer. That was his excuse. So,
is that what they call it nowadays?
I guess. But the Nevada Athletic State Commission said, listen, Anderson Silva, nice shot. You're suspended for 1 year. So now Anderson Silva's legacy is pretty much under wraps. He has one more year, if 1 year to come back because he ain't fighting. He's suspended pretty much for 1 year because of his drug abuse. But JL Sonnen was just picking on him because of the whole excuse. But really, man, you're going to use the excuse of sexual enhancers for getting caught with this stuff?
Yeah, but I think it would have done him more justice if he would have just came out and be upfront about it and just come out with something like a sexual enhancement, you know? Really? Is that what they call it nowadays? You know, that's kind of like
me.
That's like me saying, oh, I'm smoking, you know, if a cop caught me, you know, smoking marijuana and I'm telling him, hey, it's just a cigarette.
Or no, it's so, just it's for my no. I'm working out my lungs. I mean, come on, man.
Exactly. So it's come on. You know, yeah, truth hurts, but I think the truth will set you free. So.
And one last topic, George, before we move forward and we bring in our next guest, Frankie Perez, who will be part of the UFC fight card this weekend on Saturday, which airs live on Fox Sports. He'll be taking on Sam Stout. Yoel Romero, who is a fighter out of here, Miami, Cuban, he is finally, hopefully, cross our fingers, going to get a shot at Jacare Ronaldo Souza, or Ronaldo Jacare Souza, who's a beast. These two were scheduled to fight last year. First time, Jacare got hurt with pneumonia. Then he was scheduled to fight a second time. Yoel got hurt with a knee injury. Now, maybe third time is probably the charm, right? Well, they're scheduled to fight part of that huge, huge UFC 194 event December 12th, which that is going to be the whole Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo, and you got the Chris Weidman versus Luke Rockhold. That is part of that big, huge UFC pay-per-view. So if these two fight, obviously the winner of that will get a shot at Chris Weidman or Luke Rockhold's title, whoever wins that fight. That is a very good fight because Yoel Romero knocked out Lyoto Machida in an amazing way. And Jacare is Jacare. He's just a beast. And don't even go on the ground with him. But his knockout power is out there. So it's really curious to see who's going to take this. It's pretty much kind of like a coin flip, but more the edge to Jacare. But again, if this fight even ever happens, because it's already been scheduled twice, someone ends up getting hurt. Hopefully this time we will get our blessing and it will happen. George, any final points?
In my opinion, I'm going for Weidman. No matter who fights who, Weidman's my pick. Now
he's your guy.
Yep. But to close off this MMA segment, Mr. Roman, mm-hmm. I'm going to attack you because the last time I ever was on the show on MMA, you were going against me when it came to my prediction. And I'm going to shoot it right in your face. Conor McGregor is still undefeated.
And yeah, but he is not going to defeat Jose Aldo. I'm sorry.
We will see. Jose Aldo. So far, I'm 1-0 against you, Mr. Roman, when it comes to predictions in MMA.
Well,
I'm going to try to see if I could beat the Undertaker's streak here on the Roman Show.
Well, let's see if it does happen. George, man, thanks so much for joining me here. Now we're going to welcome Frankie Perez, who takes on the veteran Sam Stout this weekend at the UFC fight card in Canada. By the way, Kevin Owens is Canadian. That's going to be good to see, right? Yeah, he's Canadian. All right, Frankie Perez on the Roman Show, huh?
Nice plug for Canada. Oh, yeah. Canada.
By the way, I want to push next week's guest. We have Maria Rios, who will fight on the Bellator fight card on August 28th. She will be joining us here on the program. And also Travis Neal of the metal band The Bloodline will be here. So finally, we're going to talk some metal, man. And by the way, they're going to have some great rock and roll shows coming down here to South Florida August 25th. You have Breaking Benjamin on August 30th. You have Fear Factory and The Bloodline. So look forward to those great shows down here. I need to take you to the mosh pit, George.
No, thanks.
Come on, yo, man up.
I was in one once with you. Never again. I remember what you turned into in those mosh pits.
You damn Skippy. All right, Frankie Perez, fight Sam Stout here in the Roman Show. Listen up.
Hey everyone, August 23rd, make sure you check out on Fox Sports. UFC Fight Night comes to you all the way from Canada. And this man right here, a hometown boy kind of, Frankie Perez, will be taking on Sam Stout on that fire card. Frankie, thanks so much for taking some time and speaking to us, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Frankie, you live in Jersey, but you're saying that Miami's your second home. Let me know this tie you have to South Florida.
Yeah, man. 305 is my city. That's what Drake says, right? That's right, man. My grandparents are from there. I've been back and forth since I was a baby. My dad basically grew up there. He was born in Brooklyn, but he was back and forth as well. You know, I don't have any family in Jersey besides my one grandfather and my aunt. So all my family, all my cousins, everybody's down there, man. So I'm there a lot.
So do you train here sometimes when you're down here?
No, I actually trained down there once for an amateur fight that I booked. I was actually heading to vacation. They called me the day I left and asked me if I wanted to fight for a title. So my coach actually had some friends down there, so I did my whole training camp down there. And that was it. That was years ago. But no, I don't train. When I usually go down there to see my family and party pretty damn hard.
Ah, we got a lot of partying here. But you were originally from where?
I'm originally from Wallington, New Jersey.
Wallington, New Jersey. All right. So you just got family down here. Then and you, how often do you visit?
I go down there 3-4 times a year.
Oh man, a lot of time. So,
yeah.
You might think, you know, we have Black Zillions, we have ATT, we have other camps here. Has a thought ever come to you that you might want to train down here?
You know, I'm always down to train wherever, you know what I mean, just to get a look. But, I'm happy in Jersey where I'm at. I mean, my team is the best in the world, I believe, and I'm very, very content. I've trained at other places. I've trained in Vegas. I've trained in Miami and stuff. But I just, not taking anything away from anybody, but I just think in Jersey we push a lot harder and we train a lot harder than anywhere in the country, in the world anyway.
Yeah, well, Frankie, well, we're going to see that when you go up against Sam Stout August 23rd this weekend. It's your second time around that you walk inside the octagon. How is this time compared to the first time, man?
Honestly, man, it's night and day. It's night and day. The first time leading up to that fight, man, I was going through a lot of personal issues. But when the big show calls, they call, you got to go, you know? So mentally, I wasn't in the there, but physically I was. Not taking anything away from Johnny Cage. He fought a hell of a fight. You know, he was just a better man that day. But you guys are going to see a different Frankie Perez for sure on August 23rd.
Were you a little nervous going into that fight? I mean, aside from the personal issues, but were you a little nervous going in, stepping into the octagon for the first time? You know, dream come true for many. For yourself, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was a dream come true. Honestly, I had no nerves. I really didn't. Everything was kind of fast. You know, I took the final 4 weeks' notice. Everything was super fast. You know, I was in shape. The nerves really never hit me. You know, it was pretty more surreal than anything. You know, walking out, seeing my dad in the crowd. You know, that got to me emotionally. But no, I was never nervous. You know, I was just never mentally there. You know, I caught a little adrenaline dump in the back warming up, and after that, man, I was kind of just, you know, just there as a body, you know. It just kind of came and went. This time around, definitely, I feel way sharper mentally. I'm there. Physically, I'm definitely there. It's just an all-around different ball game this time.
Now, you got Sam Stout. I mean, this guy's a veteran. He's been in the octagon a couple of times. He's been in MMA for some time. Is this your toughest fight, you would say, in your career?
I don't know if it's going to be my toughest fight. I mean, we'll find out, you know, but definitely the biggest name, definitely the most high-caliber fighter I've ever fought, yes.
Have you kept his eye, have you kept your eyes on him in the past? Have you kept up to date with his fights in the past?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I'll be honest, dude, I'm a Sam Stout fan. I'm a fan of Sean Tompkins and that whole team, you know, Mark Hominick, Kordesky. I've always been a fan of him, you know, the Fisher fights, and I've always mm-hmm. followed his career. You know, when I was an amateur, I actually did a seminar with Sean Tompkins. So that was actually a super surreal moment for myself, you know, and years later down the road, now I'm fighting one of his students. You know, it's pretty incredible.
And with Stout, though, he is coming off back-to-back losses. Do you think that plays a role in a veteran, a guy who has so much experience?
You know, man, everybody keeps saying that, you know, you're putting out on, you know, two losses, two knockout losses, and, you know, he's been around for a long time. You think it's just, you know, you think it's just like a rebound fight or how you think. Man, he's a veteran, man. He's been around for a long time. It's not the first time he losses. He's got losses. You know, it's not the first time he got knocked out. So, I'm expecting the best Sam Stout there is. You know, he's got more pressure than I do coming into this fight. You know, he's fighting in his hometown. He's coming off two losses, and UFC cuts guys like there's no tomorrow. So, I'm really expecting the best Sam Stout. You know, I prepare for the best Sam Stout. So.
Is this your first time to Canada? Not only on a personal level, but also fighting as well?
No, I never fought in Canada, but I've been to Canada. I've been to Quebec City. I've been in Toronto. I've been in Niagara. So I like Toronto, actually. I like Canada. I like the people.
So do you think that you're going to get a lot of boos knowing that Stout is from, that is his backyard?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I do better like that, man. The best Frankie Perez comes out when I have no pressure on me and I have a high caliber fighter in front of me. You know, I really don't feed into the fans too much. So whether they're against me or with me, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm really just focused on the fight, you know. But yeah, I'm expecting some boos. I just hope nothing gets thrown at me.
Well, and Frankie, let me know a little bit about yourself and how you got started in mixed martial arts.
How I got started, actually, man, it's crazy. I don't have like a story that, like, I grew up in the ghetto or I was homeless or anything, you know. Honestly, when I was younger, I used to get bullied. But when I was even younger than that, I was the bully growing up. And I was always a big advocate on bullying ever since it happened to me, you know. And when I moved out to Central Jersey down by the beach, actually, I had a friend of mine that was going to some fights here locally and couldn't go. So he ended up giving me the tickets, and me and my father went. And I went. A couple of local guys were fighting. And I loved it, man, from the first fight to the last, man. I really enjoyed the fights. I never looked at it as a profession to get into. I just thought it would be cool to get into something like that with jiu-jitsu. So I found a coach to a mutual friend that night, and I started training the next day, man, and it's been history since.
Awesome, man. It's a great story. Frank, your father, is he from Cuba by any chance, or where is he originally from?
Yeah, I'm 100% Cuban. My mother was born and raised there, and my father was born in Brooklyn, but all my grandparents and everybody are from Cuba.
So any chance that you'll be going to Cuba and visit?
Yeah, I actually just came back, not last summer, the summer before. We went and visited, man. It was a pretty surreal moment, you know. It was pretty wild.
But, you know, little by little, we're getting more Cubans, there were native Cubans that are in the UFC. Yoel Romero's one of them. Hector Lombard's another one. Any chance you think that one day you can see a UFC in a Cuba, and would you like to be part of that?
Oh, of course, man. You know, if it's one thing, I understand that I'm an Americanized Cuban. You know, I don't speak very much Spanish. I understand most of it. But, I mean, to be able to go fight where my roots are, you know, it'd be a story that I can stay and tell my grandkids one day. You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. You know, it'd be incredible. And they have the room, they have the stadiums for it, you know. I think we're getting closer, you know. I don't think we're close at all yet, being that, you know, everything with the U.S. is happening now. But, you know, hopefully eventually, before I'm out of this sport, that'd be something I would definitely be interested in.
Awesome. Well, Frankie, I want to thank you so much for taking your time, man. I want to wish you good luck this weekend. I'm sure that the 305 in Jersey and the rest of the United States will be supporting you as you take on the Canadian, Frankie.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the time, guys. Tune in this Sunday. I'm the main event of the prelims. Me and Sam Stout are going to put on a show for you guys. I'll bring that W home back to the U.S.
You got it, Frankie. Thanks so much, dude, and good luck, my man. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that is Frankie Perez is getting ready to face Sam Stout this weekend on Fox Sports this Saturday. Make sure you tune in. And the Roman Show will be back here next week as we bring you the Bloodlines. Travis Steele, the vocalist, joins us to talk about their album, We Are One. If you haven't heard it, please do so right now. We Are One. Heck, you can listen to it on iTunes, purchase it there, or Amazon. Whatever you choose, just listen to it. Trust me, you will love it. Also, Maria Rios, who will be part of the Bellator fight card, will also join us here next week on The Roman Show. This plus match more. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201, or just head on to theromanshow.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Twitter/TheRomanShow. Good night, guys.